whenever you come along, it's usually a very pleasant experience, and it's good to be with you for these few moments of meditation upon the Word of the Lord. As we were singing that last chorus a few moments ago, I will never, never, never leave you. I thought of that verse in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, where we have those words recorded, Hebrews 13 and verse 5. And many years ago it was pointed out to me that whether you read that statement forwards or backwards, it conveys the same meaning. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Thee forsake nor thee leave, never will I. So the promise is good, front ways or back ways. And we thank God we can hang on to it. I think it's a good promise, don't you? Lord has given it to us, and we can hold on to that, knowing that His Word cannot fail. Now, there are just a few verses in the book of Colossians that I'd like us to think about for a little while this morning. Colossians chapter 4. We'll read verses 2 to 6. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through to 6. Was written from Rome during Paul's imprisonment. And in verse 2, he writes, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." We trust that God will bless to our hearts the reading of these verses of His Word. Those of you who were here last Sunday morning, you will recall that we were in the book of Daniel, and we made reference to the various occasions on which the Lord touched Daniel. He was given a touch for knowledge. He was given a touch for skill and understanding. He was given a touch prayer and dependence upon God. He was given a touch for speech, utterance. He was given a touch for strength. And I've been thinking of that third touch that he received, for prayer and dependence upon God. Because Daniel was a man of prayer. We just sang a chorus with the boys and girls a while ago about praying Daniel and how God shook the lion's mouth. I heard some time ago of a little lad who told his mother on his return from Sunday school that the lesson was about Daniel in the lion's den. And Mom asked him, well, tell me about that lesson. Did the lions chew him up? No, Mom. Why didn't they eat Daniel? And she replied, because he was all muscle and gristle and backbone. Daniel, quite a man. Muscle, gristle, backbone. And then I heard a preacher giving the gospel recently. Do you know what he said? He said, a lot of Christians don't have enough backbone to take a chiropractic adjustment. We need more men like Daniel, don't you think so? Men of prayer, they are usually men of power. And here in Colossians chapter 4, the passage that we read began with these words, continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. I looked at your brochure, bulletin that's prepared for October 25th, 31st. And the thought occurred to me as I looked at this, that this is really a prayer bulletin. You know why they have given all this information about 9:30 a.m., the Lord's Supper? I believe it's a request to brethren and sisters of the church, pray for that meeting. Not only attend, but pray for that meeting. 11:15, Sunday school and adult Bible class, song leader, pray for the song leader. Pray for the pianist. Pray for the speaker. Pray for the choir practice. And you'll notice here at 6:30 p.m., prayer for gospel service. Tuesday, October 27th, 7:45, prayer and ministry. Wednesday, October 28th, ladies' prayer meeting. Saturday, October 31st, the second item is 7 a.m., men's prayer time. And then when you turn the page, you discover in your personal prayers, please remember, and a number of names are here, needing the prayerful support of the saints. And then we open our Bibles after looking at this prayer bulletin. We open our Bibles and we read from Colossians chapter 4. Continue in prayer. In order to continue, you first have to make a start. What if you have started to pray? I believe with all my heart that it pays to pray. And all through Scripture, we find men of God praying, spending time in prayer. We spoke of Daniel. He got a touch for prayer and dependence upon God. Abraham, man of prayer. Moses, a man who knew how to intercede with God. That woman, Hannah, when she didn't have any kids, And the bird of her heart was to have a little boy that she could give to the Lord. She prayed. While she was praying, Eli the priest thought that she was drunk. But she was speaking to her heavenly Father. Only her lips moved. He didn't hear the words that she was speaking. Samuel was a man of prayer. Elisha was a man of prayer. Hezekiah, when he got ill, remember him turning his face to the wall and he prayed. He did a sensible thing. He called upon God. Ezra, Nehemiah, these were men of prayer. Jonah, great servant of God, sent on a mission. And instead of going where God sent him, he decides to go his own way. And down there in the belly of the fish, what was he doing? Pray. Here he is talking to God. Thank God the ears of our God are open. He hears the cry of his children. And Paul is here suggesting to the Colossians that they should continue in earnest, holy intercession for the spread of the gospel. Give constant attention and persevere in prayer. In writing to the Thessalonians, he said to them, pray without ceasing. And in Ephesians chapter 6, he says to those Ephesian Christians, pray for me, that utterance may be given to me, and that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the grace of God. So pray for me. Now, the same apostle who gives this advice that we continue in prayer, you notice his first recorded activity after his conversion. Thank God he was converted. Though brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, though he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a very religious man, though he was a man that went to synagogue all the time, and a man who was very meticulous in the observance of his religious duties, Paul was not saved until the Lord met him on the Damascus Road. Have you met with the Lord? Have you had a similar experience? Are you saved by the grace of God? Immediately, Paul was met by the Lord of glory on the Damascus Road. He says, who art thou, Lord? Who are you? The Lord says, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for you to kick against the bricks. Then they had a little conversation. And Saul said to the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? What will you have me to do? Now I am your man. Now you have met me. Now you have revealed yourself to me. What do you want me to do? Arise, go to Damascus. It will be told you what you shall do. He went there. And in Acts chapter 9, we read that there was a man by the name of Ananias who was sent to Damascus to the house of one Simon, the house of one Judas, to inquire in that house for Saul of Tarsus. And then the Lord said to Ananias, behold, he's doing something. What was he doing? Remember? He's praying. You're going to find him on his knees. Behold, he prayeth. That's how you'll identify the man. So you see how Paul started his ministry after his conversion? He started praying on his knees. over in Fort Lauderdale, the ladies in the chapel there have a sewing class. And I heard at one of their sewing classes that two ladies were wives of preachers. They were mending garments for giveaway. Where they're sending it to? Foreign field or where, I don't know. But they were mending these garments. You know what one lady was doing? She was mending the pant feet. Her husband's trousers. Mending the pant feet. And the other one was mending the knees, pant knees. So the one that was mending the seat, she says, you know, my hubby always wears out his seat. I don't know why he wears out his seat so fast. And the other lady says, I know why my hubby wears out his knees so fast.
You know why?
Let me tell you something. It pays to pray. Paul knew that. He experienced the power of prayer in his own life. The secret of progress is prayer. The secret of growth is prayer. The secret of blessing is prayer. The secret of victory is prayer. Paul knew that. And so he says to these Colossians, continue in prayer. Continue. Don't give up. When he was writing to the Galatian Christians, he says to them, be not weary in well-doing. In due season, you'll reap if you faint not. There's a little boy who's going to bed. And he announces to his family, mom and dad and the other kids, he says, I'm going upstairs, going to bed now. I'm going to kneel down and say my prayers. Does anybody want anything? If they had a request, he'd honor it. And he'd be glad to talk to the Lord about it. Some of us get the feeling that that is prayer. Just making our requests known to the Lord. And begging and asking him for something. But prayer involves a lot more than that. Asking the Lord for anything. After Paul was converted, you will get this in the book of Galatians, chapter 1. He says, I conferred not with flesh and blood. But the inference is that he was in conference for 3 years after his conversion. Some theologians refer to it as the three silent years in Paul's life. But Paul explains that he went into Arabia. I believe that this dear man of God, after he was converted, he went into seclusion. He wanted to find out just what the Lord had to say to him. Just what the Lord had to teach him. He wanted to know what the Lord intended that he should do with his life. And I know a lot of Christians who have not gotten all this information from the Lord. You have some Christians who are confused. They don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. I've met young people and they wonder, well, it's going to be my profession. What's my line of business? Who am I going to marry? Who will be my life's partner? Where am I going to live? And there's a lot of confusion in their minds as to the will of God for their lives. But there was no confusion in Paul's mind. You know why? He goes into Arabia and he spent 3 long years. First he had been brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, but that did not satisfy his spiritual need. He says, I want to get in touch with the Lord. And as he got in touch with the Lord, you know, the Lord revealed some marvelous things to him that were not revealed to any of the other saints, disciples, or apostles. When he was writing to the Corinthians, he says, I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. I got it from the Lord. The time that he spent in prayer was not wasted. I believe that those were rich seasons of communion and fellowship with God when he talked to God and God talked to him. Now here in the book of Colossians, those of you who like to study in detail these various epistles, you'll discover that in Colossians 1 and 3, Paul says to the Colossian Christians, I'm praying all the time for you, praying always for you. In chapter 1 and verse 9, he says, we do not cease to pray for you. In chapter 4 and verse 2, he says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Then in verse 3, he says, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance. And then in chapter 4 and verse 12, he says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, greeteth you, always laboring fervently in you, for you, in prayer, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. I remember last Lord's Day when I was here for the Bible class, I mentioned to you that in many assemblies, you have people who never attend a prayer meeting, but they belong to the assembly. See? I think it's unfortunate that so many are so busy with so many other activities that they find no time to be involved in a most vital activity. You can be so busy doing good things that you neglect the best. Did you get that? You can be so involved with good things that you neglect the best. I believe with all my heart that the best for the people of God is continue in prayer. Don't give it up. And even though you may have been placing a certain matter before the Lord for weeks, maybe for months, perhaps for years, the scripture still holds good. Continue in prayer. In due season, you'll reap if you faint not. Now notice the next statement. And watch in the same. So while you're praying, watch. Give strict attention to prayer. Careful, diligent attention to this ministry. And allow nothing to divert your interest in prayer. It is an exact fasting exercise. It requires vigilance. When the Lord was here, he said to his disciples just before he went to the cross, watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Well, the British Army had a slogan during the Great World Wars that the colonels publicized tremendously. They used to say, the British Army marches on its stomach, indicating our soldiers are well fed. Colonel Booth of the Salvation Army, he retorted with this statement. He says, the Lord's army marches on its knees. Did you get that? The British Army may march on its stomach. The Lord's army marches on its knees. And here in the Shirley Heights Gospel Chapel, if we're to see God's blessing, if we're to see souls saved, if we're to see growth and progress and victory in the lives of the people of God, remember, it pays to pray. James says, confess your faults one to another. And then he says, pray one for another. I'd be like Paul. I can imagine Paul putting up his hand and saying, pray for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly, make known the mystery of the gospel of God. I like when people say to me, brother, I'm praying for you. I appreciate that. And I appreciate knowing that they not only say it, but they do it. And I believe that you need me to pray for you. I need you to pray for me. The Word of God says we should pray one for another that we should be healed. I'm not going into the ramifications or the theology of divine healing. But I do know that prayer changes things. I do know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Sometimes we think, thy touch has still its ancient power. No word from thee can fruitless fall. And some of us in this meeting today are evidences, living witnesses to the fact that God hears prayer. God is able to heal. I went to a meeting in Miami recently, and as soon as I came off the platform after preaching the gospel, a young woman in the meeting, she came up to me, gave me a bottle of olive oil. Says, Brother Hart, this is for use according to James chapter 5. I said, sister, we won't quarrel with you, we'll take it. I'll pass it on to the elders. You never can tell, it may be needed this very day. We won't go into all the ramifications of the use of this oil, but you know, it's according to the scripture. We just thank the lady for it, and she went about our business. I trust the brethren will use it on the appropriate occasions as they are directed by the Spirit of God. Because the Word of God teaches it. You read James chapter 5. Is God able? You know what the answer is? Nothing is too hard for the Lord. And the Apostle James, who was the brother of the Lord, says, pray one for another. Confess your faults one for another. Pray one for another. Now, sometimes when people pray, don't seem as if they're getting through. I don't know if you've had this experience. It seems as if the heaven above you is brass, the earth beneath you is like iron, as we read in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. You're not getting through to God. What's wrong? What's wrong when a person prays and there's no response? What's the problem? I'll tell you a little story that I heard long ago. A Canadian farmer, in the middle of winter, he wanted some groceries for himself and his family. So he picked up the telephone, and it was in the years of long ago when they didn't have these touchstone phones. They had the ringers. You ever see a phone with a handle and you turn? You ever see one of those? Well, those of you who have seen it, you know, you've been around a little while. Okay. Well, here he is ringing and ringing to try and get the grocer in town, but no go. No grocer. No response. And after a long time at the phone, he says, I give up. Put on his coat, put on his boots, out into the cold blizzards and snow, deep snow and ice, he begins to walk into town. And as he's walking along the road, he looked at his telephone wires and he saw an old owl on the wires, frozen stiff, with his body across these two wires, short-circuiting the wires. The old owl. So he got himself a stick, poked, the bird fell in the snow, and then instead of going to the grocer, he turned right back, took off his coat, took off his boot, kicked off the snow, went inside, picked up the telephone. Hello? Yes? Yes, it's me. I've been trying to get you for quite a while. Yes? Yes? I do need some groceries. Can you send them out right away? Gave them the list. And before long, the groceries were delivered. Friend, wife, she says, you fixed it! How did you fix it? He says, all morning I was ringing up a dead owl. A dead owl on the line. It's not hard to fix. Knock it off. Get rid of the dead owl. And the messages will go through. They'll go and they'll come. I want to ask you, you ever prayed and you get no response? Heaven's brass. You're not getting through to God. God is there. His ear is open. He's listening. Very often, people have dead owls on the line. That's why Paul says, continue in prayer. Watch in the same. Look out for that which will impede and hinder your prayers. That will, which will obstruct the message and hinder it from getting through to God. The lines are being short-circuited. Does anybody here have a dead owl? Listen to what David says. David says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I can't pray. It's no use praying. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I have to get the sin question settled. So if there is a sin question that needs your attention, we are here to tell you that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse from all sin. The church may not be able to rid you of sin. The baptismal ceremony may not wash away your sin. The confirmation may not lift the load of sin. Well, thank God Jesus can do that for you today. If you only trust Him. The Lord wants that we have the sin question settled. Watch! Look out! Because that thing will drag you into hell. I heard a preacher say not so long ago, he says, your morality may keep you out of jail. You'd be a good, moral, upright, decent, honest person. Your morality may keep you out of jail. But it's only the blood of Jesus that will keep you out of hell. And you need the cleansing of His blood. You need to have the sin question settled once and for all. And it's only when we have iniquity taken away that we can have fellowship with God. For God is so holy. God is so righteous. God is too holy to look upon sin. The sin question has to be settled. The dead owl has to be removed. Watch out for any root of bitterness. Watch out, because the hammer of judgment falls without a challenge on the defenseless head of a man like the prodigal son. Remember the story of the prodigal son? We sit in judgment upon him. Because he goes into that far country. But any time I open my Bible to read that story in Acts, in Luke chapter 15, and you read it at your convenience. Luke chapter 15. Read of the two sons. One was prodigal, the other one stayed at home. But it just strikes me very forcefully that it's really the parable of the prodigal sons. Both of them were evil. One went to the far country. The other one was at home. But was the one at home any better than the one who went to the far country? I often wonder about that. The sins of the disposition could be just as bad as the sins of the body. You know, one of my little grandsons, some of you know I have four daughters, four lovely daughters, thank God for them. Three of them are married. They all have kids. They all have boys. So I have six grandsons. One of these little ones, I had the job once of taking him from Fort Lauderdale in the station wagon, driving him up to his parents in London, Ontario, when his dad was at school there. On the way, he talked a lot. He's quite a chatterbox. He was about 2 years of age. And I discovered that he learned a lot of nursery rhymes. He knew a lot of them. And one of his nursery rhymes, in the car, he'd take off his shoes and play with his toes. And as he played with his toes, I heard him saying, sat beside me, "This is a piggy went to market." You know that nursery rhyme here in Nassau? "This little piggy stayed at home, this little piggy had roast meat, this little piggy had none, and this little piggy cried, all the way home." And I enjoyed hearing him with his nursery rhymes. I told him, if you only knew the scripture as well as you knew your nursery rhymes, you'd be okay. But as he recited that particular nursery rhyme, I was thinking, five piggies, you know. One went to market, one stayed home. One that stayed at home, he was just as much as pig as the one that went to market. One had roast beef, one had none. So this one was rich and this one was poor, I suppose. But we have a rich pig and a poor pig. So all pig. The little one that cried, "Wee, wee, 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 wee," the little piggy too. You read Luke chapter 15, one boy goes out and the other one stays in. Two bad boys, two rascals. The one that went out, he wasted his substance with riotous living, wine, woman and song, had a high time. The one who stayed home, look at that guy carefully, they are dark thunderclouds of anger and jealousy and pride and arrogance, sullenness. Which one of those were worse? Two sinners, you know, two prodigals, two guys that needed salvation. So whether you're in the church or outside of the church, you need to watch. Watch out for that which will hinder fellowship with God. Watch out for that which will hinder you from having communion with God. Watch out for that which will drag your soul down to perdition. Make sure your heart is right with God. The peculiarity of ill temper is that it is the vice of the virtuous. The compatibility of ill temper with high moral character is the strangest and saddest problem of Christian ethics. We wonder how the two get along so well. I heard a preacher giving a message one night, and you know what the title of his message was? A good man saved. No, a good man lost and a bad man saved. Good men, they get lost quite as easily as the bad men. When our Lord was here, he says, publicans and harlots, they go into the kingdom of God before some of you Pharisees. So we have to watch out. We have to check up and make sure. If I am to continue in prayer, if I am to watch in the same with thanksgiving, then my heart must be right. I mustn't have any old dead owls on the line. You get that? Time for me to close now. But I close with this. Continue in prayer, watching the same, with thanksgiving. For those of you Bible students who like to check the Bible prayers, you will discover that every great Bible prayer has confession of sin. It's something we don't hear too much of nowadays, you know. Nobody wants to say, I'm sorry, or I'm wrong, or it's my fault, or I have sinned. Very seldom you hear that nowadays. But every great Bible prayer has confession of sin. Jesus Christ our Lord accepted. Thank God he didn't have any sins to confess. Aren't you glad? He was the perfect one. And every great Bible prayer has thanksgiving, a note of thanksgiving. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. So Paul tells these Colossian Christians, he says, continue in prayer. Keep on praying. That's how you started your Christian pathway. Continue in prayer. Have your eyes wide open. You watch under the same. Be very alert and vigilant. And watch to ensure that nothing interrupts your prayer life. And make sure that you mingle, you include thanksgiving with your prayer. Give thanks. Down in Jamaica, one rainy morning, I had to go out. And just as I was backing the car out from the apartment, I saw a fellow standing under the shed with his big bag of books. He wants to go to school, high school student. So I drove up close to the shed, opened the door of the car. He said, I'll give you a ride. He was glad to get in the car. I didn't plan going to school. It was a couple of miles out of my way, but I took him to school. It was a rainy day. Took him to school. When we got to school, I drove under the shed so that he wouldn't get wet. And then we opened the door leading near the auditorium, and he got out of the car, and he could get inside the classroom without being sprinkled. So just as he was leaving the car, I noticed he didn't have anything to say to me, but I said to him, thank you, thinking he'd get the clue, you know. I say, thank you. You know what this guy says to me? He says, you're welcome. As if he was doing me a favor. Some folk don't learn very easily, do they? You know what the Bible teaches me? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. He's good. When last have you thanked him? This morning when we were around the communion table, some of us, our hearts were just full of thanksgiving, thanking the Lord. When we saw that bread broken and the outpoured wine, we're thankful to God that the blood of Christ was shed, that his body was broken on Calvary. You ever stop to thank him? For to give you a piece of paper and a pen and say, write down the many things for which you can give thanks. Oh, what a long list we could make. Paul says here, pray. Continue in prayer. Watch. Keep your eyes open. Look out for that which will hinder your prayers. And always include thanksgiving. So today, I'm going to suggest something. If you don't know what to thank the Lord for, thank God for Jesus Christ. God so loved the world, he gave his son. Thank God for this gift of life eternal. Receive this gift. and you'll never regret it. We have made a lot of progress with Colossians chapter 4, but it's a beautiful chapter, and I would encourage you who love the Word of God to read it again and seek by the grace of God to follow the precepts outlined here. Continue in prayer, watching the same, including thanksgiving. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Shall we bow in prayer? I'm going to close with a brief word of prayer. But I'm just wondering if there's anyone here that would like us to pray for you. I don't know your particular need. But if there's a need in your heart, in fact, your very presence here indicates that there is a need in your heart. Would you like to indicate to us that you do have a need and you'd appreciate the prayers of the people of God in this church? If there is a need and you'd like us to pray for you, put up your hand to indicate it. We'd be very happy to speak to the Lord on your behalf, even now. God hears. God answers. Whatever that need may be, He is able to do exceeding abundantly above anything we can ask or think. Would you like us to pray for you? Lord, we pray that your hand of blessing may be upon us all. May we remember some of what we have heard and learnt from your word. And may we not only be hearers of your word, but doers also. May those of us who know thee and love thee watch and pray, lest we enter into temptation. And may we not fail to give thanks unto thee, for thou art good. Thy mercy endureth forever. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us together. And now as we separate one from another, may your blessing be shared amongst us. And as we come together again for the evening service, may we have another time of refreshing in your presence. We ask it in the Savior's precious name. Amen. Amen.